Corinthians chapter 11, and today, God willing, I'm going to finish up the message that I have been preaching on simplicity in Christ. We'll go ahead and read the first four verses again. Would to God that ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Remember, Paul the Apostle regarded the church at Corinth as the prospective bride of Jesus Christ, the Lord's church. And we are to do everything in our power to use the washing of the water of the word to take out every spot, every wrinkle, everything that would defile us, so that we may be ready for the coming of the bridegroom. Verse 3, he says there's something that he fears may deter his effort to present them and prepare them. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And he identified who these very people were who were seeking to draw them away, to corrupt their minds, to pollute their understanding, to draw them from the simplicity of Christ. He identifies them in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. The first week we looked at the desire of Paul. He wanted to teach them the truth, prepare them, and present them as a chaste virgin unto Christ. He wanted to protect them from corruption. The second sermon, we focused on the danger that he exposed, that they were trying to corrupt these Corinthian believers in that local church away from the simplicity that is in Jesus Christ. And he took us all the way back to the example of Satan beguiling Eve. He said that kind of mentality and teaching and deception is still very active today. And it's been that way ever since the fall. People have always tried, that Satan and his emissaries and false teachers have always tried to corrupt the minds of people. And they've done so very successfully. And last week we looked at the idea, where is this focus of corruption? They want to take your mind away from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And you know, we brought out the fact that these doctrines, these teachings that are trying to draw people away from the simplicity of Jesus Christ, they're not innocent. They're the doctrines of devils. And they seek to corrupt the purity and the truth of the faith which was once delivered. Now you think about all the ways in which men have sought to corrupt people and draw their minds away from the simplicity of Jesus Christ. The Bible clearly states that Jesus is the Word of God. that He is the express image of God, that He is God manifest in the flesh. The Apostle John confessed, "We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Almost immediately, the Gnostics and others began to try to say, "Well, Christ, He's not God manifest in the flesh." The idea that He came as a physical human being, that God was divinely united to man in one person to accomplish the work of redemption, that's not taught. That's what the Gnostics were teaching. Yet, the Bible makes it clear, makes it plain, that Jesus Christ is indeed God manifest in the flesh. So even from the very earliest of times of Christianity, there has been this ongoing effort to diminish the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this simplicity. Think of all the teachings on what a church is that are completely contrary to what the Word of God teaches. Jesus started His kind of church during His earthly ministry. He promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Jesus clearly said that He gave the commission to the kind of church that He organized to preach the gospel to every creature, to baptize the converts, and to teach them to observe all things whatsoever He's commanded until He comes again. Simple, direct, to the point. He didn't give that to the Catholic Church. He didn't give it to anybody that traces their authority back to Catholicism. He gave that commission to His kind of church. What we would today identify as a New Testament Baptist church. Now, that is politically incorrect to say that Jesus started one church. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And we are to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Protestants, Catholics have sought to complicate and to confuse when it comes to the truth as it is in Jesus regarding His church. How about the work of salvation? You could go to 50 different Baptist churches in name today and probably get different ideas about how men are brought to Christ or how people are saved. And certainly if you open it up to Catholicism and Protestants, you might get 100 different ideas. Yet there's only one way of salvation. It's revealed in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Last week we emphasized 1 Corinthians 15. That the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, how that He was buried and that He rose again according to the Scriptures. This is how we're saved. No other way, by grace, through faith in what Jesus did. This is the simplicity. There aren't many ways of salvation. There's not a list of rules and regulations and ideas that somebody has to check off in order to be saved. It was this direct, this simple, when the Philippian jailer asked that all-important question, "What must I do to be saved?" One answer is sufficient. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Again, look at all the doctrines that men have come up with that seek to diminish the simplicity in Christ Jesus. The way of salvation, the Lord's church, infant baptism, baptismal regeneration, different gospels, so to speak, for different dispensations. Folks, there's one gospel. There's one way of salvation. It's in Christ and Christ alone. In the Old Testament, they looked forward to that. In the New Testament, we look back to the finished work, but Christ is the center. He is the sum, the substance of salvation. You get away from that, it's heresy. It's false teaching. So don't allow yourself to get sidetracked. We're warned about that in the last days. You think of all the different things, all the ideas that secular humanism has come up with. How complicated is the theory of evolution that changes at the whims of its adherents? It's far different than when Darwin wrote Origin of the Species and the things that they espouse today as to time, how it happened. They still don't have a real explanation. I do. In the beginning, God created. That's simplicity. I regard the Almighty as the Creator. That He's the one that spoke the world into existence. He upholds it by the word of His power. It's God. He directs. And yet, so many things. Marriage. Again, simplicity. Jesus said that's between a man, and a male and a female. They come together, they become one flesh. He took us all the way back to the first couple, Adam and Eve. He also said there's only two genders, male and female. Yet today, we have a world that is seeking to make that so complex you don't even know who to call what, when, and where. Simplicity, doctrinally, in Jesus Christ. In our doctrine and in our practice. Now today, and I told you last Sunday, this last sermon would be a little shorter. I may not live up to that, but we'll try. How do we develop and demonstrate simplicity in Christ Jesus? How do we practically implement this ideal, this desire to adhere to the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus? Well, Paul makes it clear that this condition of maintaining and preserving the condition and ideal of simplicity in Christ is something that is worth fighting for. Something that we ought to pay diligent attention to so that our minds would not be corrupted. Don't allow your life. This is very practical to go in a bunch of different directions. The teaching in Proverbs 3 is so direct. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. That's a great starting place. Trust in the Lord with everything. Every decision, Every day of your life, keep this in the foremost. I'm going to trust God with my life, my mind, my decisions, my wealth, my abilities. I'm going to trust Him with all of it, and I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. I'm going to follow what He says. I'm going to allow Him to direct my paths through the truth of His Word and the leadership of His Spirit. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 4, the next chapter over, and Brandon's been doing an excellent job teaching this in Sunday school when he's here. But look over there in Proverbs chapter 4, and I want you to notice the singular direction that the wise man exhorts us to walk in. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. How do you go about that? Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. You want to live in simplicity in Jesus Christ? Get control of your mouth, your tongue. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Stay focused. Keep your eyes on the prize. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Don't get distracted. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep advancing in His name, desiring to be conformed to His image and not the image of the world. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. You better be walking in the paths that the Lord's laid out, and not the one, the broad way that leads to destruction. Ponder where you're going, what you're doing, how your life is being lived, the example that you're setting before others. And then, verse 27, stay focused. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. How simple is that? How direct is that? You just keep on walking in the way that God has said. This is the way, walk ye in it. It's the straight and narrow. Do what's right at all times, based on the truth, the principles of what's revealed in the Word of God. You make sure you keep your feet from evil. Don't walk in the way of evil men. Turn from it. Now, back in our text, the Greek word for simplicity is haplotes. Now, that's my pronunciation, the Buffalo Creek pronunciation. It may not be completely copacetic, but that's the Greek word, haplotes. And it's interesting. It also means to be sincere and single, in contrast to duplicity and insincerity. It's as if Paul is telling the Corinthians his desire for them as a chaste virgin, the bride of Jesus Christ, be focused. Be single-minded. Be sincere. Be unwavering in your love, your devotion, your service to the Lord Jesus. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus said. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, the Lord said, no man can serve two masters, for evil, either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then in verse 33 he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God's rule, God's reign, God's command in your heart, in your life, in your mind. Make pleasing the Lord and honoring Him the single most important thing in your life. Awake every day with this mindset. I'm going to trust the Lord with everything today. My desire in whatsoever I do, whether I eat or drink, or whatsoever I do, wherever I go, whatever I say, I want to bring glory and honor to God. That's the aim. That's the desire. I've always been fascinated by the dedication that was expressed by Paul when he gives a variation of his testimony in Philippians chapter 3. And he expressed his willingness to give everything up that he may win Christ. Towards the end of his exhortation, he says this in Philippians 3 and verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." And listen, this is the simplicity. This is the focus. "But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Sounds to me like he was a man whose sole desire was to honor the Lord. And you see it in the selfless way in which he lived his life. He said that he was willing to endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain the salvation with eternal glory in Christ Jesus. Don't allow yourselves to get sidetracked. And there is so much in this world where you can get sidetracked by the world, the flesh, the devil, false doctrine, money, pleasure, fame, power. And then remember Paul's exhortation in verse 3 of Philippians or 2 Corinthians 11. He said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Guard your mind. What goes on up in here is so vital to the whole of your life. Don't get distracted from your purpose. Don't let your mind wander. Think about how many times we're exhorted over and over and over again to guard our minds, to keep it saturated with the Word of God. The blessed man said, "Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Saturate your mind with the truth of the Word of God. Psalm chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, "Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety." Be still. Commune with your own heart. Learn to think upon the things of God by way of deep thought, by way of meditation. In order to meditate properly, you're going to have something holy to think deeply upon. And that's where this scripture intake comes in. Reading, studying, memorizing, listening to preaching. It's all aimed at getting your mind right. Keeping your mind focused. I love Isaiah 26. And I think it would cure a lot of ills that people have. A lot of the what people label as mental illness. I think a lot of people's minds are so distracted and filled up with things of no value. They're confused. They're complicated. And I'm not at all diminishing what the problems that they have. But here's the way I believe. It says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." There is peace and tranquility to be had if you can keep your mind on the Lord, trusting Him every day, walking with Him, praying, abiding in Him. It's not that complicated. Spend time alone with God. Solitude. With nothing to distract you. Jesus said to enter into thy closet. And he's not talking about, he's not saying you got to have a literal closet. You got to go to where you can get away from everything. Turn your phone off, the internet off, the TV off, all the humming. And be alone with God. Learn to think your own thoughts rather than everything that's being poured into you by the media, the internet, the television, the radio. Think your own thoughts. Think deeply upon God. Ask God to influence your mind and your heart for that particular day. Turn stuff off. I love this little book, The Best of A.W. Tozer. I don't agree with everything Tozer taught, but certainly. But I like a lot of his pithy comments. These things were written in the 1950s, 40s and 50s. He quotes Ralph Waldo Emerson, a poem. He's talking about, this is back in the 40s, that the American home, he said, has become nothing more than a circus and an entertainment center. That most people know the people on television better than they do their own family. Now he's saying that in the 40s and 50s. All right? He said this. This is Ralph Waldo Emerson. "Oh, when I am safe in my sylvan home, I tread on the pride of Greece and Rome. And when I am stretched beneath the pines, where the evening star so holy shines, I laugh at the lore and the pride of men, at the sophist schools and the learned clan. For what are they all in their own, in their high conceit, when man in the bush with God may meet?" He's saying we got to get back to quiet, simple solitude with God. It's about your mind. Reduce your interest to a few. Don't do things that are of no service to you or the Lord. I thought this was an amazing statement that he made.
And little did he know how prophetic it would be. He said, don't try to know what will be of no service to you. Avoid the digest type of mind. Short bits of unrelated facts, cute stories, and bright sayings. He had no idea what was going to explode with social media, where people and Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, where people communicate in 140 characters or less. Usually very worthless bits of information aimed at pride and arrogance and conceit. And yet it seems as though our world is overwhelmed. That's how most people get their information. This is where we're at. And I fear that many people are being drawn away from the simplicity that is in Christ. I've always said, listen, the Christian life is not complicated. I'm not saying it's easy and that there aren't trials and afflictions, but it really boils down to this. I'm trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior. He died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. He bought me with His own precious blood. I owe Him every fiber of my being, lock, stock, and barrel. I'm to honor Him, glorify Him. How do I do that? I believe consistency, faithfulness. Read the Word of God. Meditate upon it. Obey its principles. Put them into practice. Teach it to your children. Live it out. Not just on Sunday, but throughout the week. Live for the Lord. So you read the Word. You worship God. In spirit and in truth, be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful to pray and to meditate and to devote yourself to the Lord. Read the Word. Pray. Worship. Be faithful in your tithes and offerings. It's not hard. It's simple. Direct. Be a witness wherever you are. People ought to know that you belong the Lord Jesus Christ, and that your life is devoted to Him. It's not that complicated. And yet here we are. May God help us to see the dangers of competing forces and doctrines that are completely contrary to the Word of God. Let's fill up our minds with the truth so that we can be equipped to go forward bearing the banner of the cross of Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. Page number 10.